Hello and welcome, everybody, to today's Open Systems Publishing eCast, entitled Micro TCA Can Resolving Cost Issues Lead to New Markets. One of the things that's always been true of the open platform market is analysts and customers and vendors get excited and think that things become a billion-dollar market 3 months after a standard is released, and it typically takes years. I think if you look historically, VME and Compact PCI took about 5 years to hit their stride and begin large-scale deployment. Advanced TCA hit that mark in last year in year four, and Micro TCA, which has only been out there for about 2 years, appears to be speeding that up, that number up a little bit, that time up. A lot of interest in it from a lot of different markets. And as any new technology, the initial products are typically quite expensive because, you know, engineering costs haven't been amortized or whatnot. And Micro TCA has gotten somewhat, I think, of a bad rap in being somewhat more expensive than people anticipated. And I think that's largely a chicken and egg problem of the vendors building things in enough quantity and really addressing costs. And we've got four very qualified speakers today. And the focus of the presentations today are primarily going to be on how costs are coming out of Micro TCA and systems are available now for much less cost than some of the initial things that first came out a year and a half ago. So we've got four speakers. In order of presentation is Tracy Riley from Emerson Network Power, followed by Justin Mole at Elmo Electronic, followed by Will Chu at CoreEdge, and then last, Jeff Hudgens at NEI. A little bit of housekeeping. If you've got a pop-up blocker on, please turn it off. It can mess up the pushing of the slides to your audience view. Also, in the lower left side of your audience view is a little box called a question. We encourage you to post questions that come to your mind during the event. So don't feel shy, and at the end of the event, we'll gather up all those questions, and we'll go through them all and hopefully get this done in an hour. We've got a lot of information to do. So the first thing we're going to do today is something new, and let's hope this works. It's called an interactive poll, and the poll question you see in front of you: what are your current thoughts about Micro TCA and its applicability to your specific vertical markets? Is interoperability the most important thing? Is price the most important thing? Is the rate of adoption the most important thing? Is a large number of vendors the most important thing? So if you'll go ahead and click on one of those, in theory, this will all be compiled, and at the end of the presentations, before the Q&A, we can look at what you collectively think about this question. So I encourage you to go ahead and answer that. Okay, our first speaker today is Tracy Riley from Emerson Network Power, and it's entitled Delivering Micro TCA's Low Cost and High Benefits to the Enterprise. Tracy?
Thank you, Joe, and thanks for the opportunity to allow me to speak for a few minutes about this topic. As mentioned, my name is Tracy Riley. I'm Product Marketing Manager from Emerson Network Power. So let's talk a little bit about the Micro TCA vision. The vision from the inception was to leverage ATC, but support demanding computing and enterprise customer present equipment. Micro TCA got its starts from ATCA. As you know, ATCA is targeted at packet-based telecommunications, primarily for the central office. It includes such things as high availability, hot swap, system management, and of course part of that is the Advanced Mezzanine Card, or AMC, which provides fine-grained modularity to the ATCA blades. Next slide, please. Thank you. At Micro TCA came out of the idea of reusing AMCs, the software, the hot swap, and the management capability, and creating a smaller, lower-cost design that would include the enterprise. However, when you take this technology that was primarily designed for telecommunications and move it to the enterprise, there are a few challenges, and those are what I'd like to talk about for a few minutes today. If you step back and just look at the difference between telecom and enterprise, you'll see some obvious differences. The aesthetics, the acoustics, the placement where the device will be placed, and the actual application that will be running. Next slide. Okay, one more slide, sorry. All right, we're looking at the enterprise applications. As we talk about applications for the enterprise. We move from the network core to the aggregation layer and finally to the enterprise access layer. There's a couple I'd like to point out of applications that are very fitting for the enterprise. First of all is the voice over IP gateway. And this, what this does, it translates between the voice over IP local network and the public switch telephone network. So basically it would be an ideal situation for small to medium-sized businesses. Another application that's interesting is the network point of sales. This is interesting because micro TCA would be placed in stores and be used as the aggregation point for the store credit card and financial transactions. So essentially, all the transactions that took place in the store would be aggregated to the micro TCA system, and from there it would communicate through the internet to the financial institutions. Another application that's getting some interest right now is the MSBG, or Multi-Service Business Gateway. This is the idea of taking multiple applications, business application, and consolidating them into one micro TCA system. And as we'll talk about in a minute, this micro TCA is very ideal for this scenario. Now, when we're talking about enterprise applications, we need to talk about things and remember segments such as industrial, medical, public safety, transportation, maybe aerospace, and even governmental. Next slide. So micro TCA really is ideal for the enterprise. One reason, of course, is because it's highly flexible, and you'll hear that term a lot when talking about micro TCA. There are many off-the-shelf AMCs available today because of the current ATCA ecosystem and the emerging micro TCA ecosystem. As we talked about with its roots in telecom, you can be assured that it has high reliability and long life cycles. Another ideal characteristic for the enterprise is the hot swap capability. Not only this is important for ease of maintenance, in that if a failure occurs, it's easy to swap out components and get the product functioning up quickly, but also for scaling. As demand increases, it's easy to scale up to support that demand, and also supports technology upgrades, meaning that when new technologies come available, you don't have to scrap all the products, but you can upgrade using the hot swap capabilities and the AMC capabilities. So if you look at this and you talk about the three things we've talked about, highly flexible, reliable and long life cycles, and then the hot swap capabilities, you know, it makes a good case for the MSBG, or being able to consolidate multiple applications into one micro TCA device. But the key to enterprise is the ability to quickly develop applications that can bring, that can quickly go to market and bring profit. So you can focus on differentiating the applications as opposed to worrying about low-level development efforts. Okay, so there's four areas I'd like to talk about briefly about micro TCA in the enterprise. First of all is packaging. The next is ease of use. Followed by that would be cost optimized, and then finally environmental. I believe that if you can address these four issues, the micro TCA will be a very fitting solution for the enterprise space. So let's start by talking about packaging. The first generation of micro TCA really did follow ATCA into the telecom equipment room. And you can see from the picture on the right. Very telco-looking equipment, techie-looking, if you will. But the new designs, as shown on the picture on the bottom, do fit much more nicely into the enterprise space. The picture on the bottom is a Centellus 500 from Emerson. It's important that the packaging for micro TCA in the enterprise is small, so it can be placed in a variety of different locations. It could be on a desk, on a table, in a closet, in a conference room, maybe, as we talked about, a checkout counter next to the photocopier, a variety of places. So it's very important that the packaging supports a variety of placements and small footprint. Another area that's important with packaging in enterprise is lightweight and easily portable. There could be applications such as in a hospital where micro TCA is supporting medical equipment. And in that case, it may be rolled from room to room, so it would be very important to be lightweight and be portable. Now, another thing to think about, of course, is ease of use. As MicroTCA moves to the enterprise, support becomes part of the IT. And the IT folks are really looking for a simple out-of-box configuration. IT wants products that will lower the total cost of ownership. Typically, in MicroTCA, you use serial command line interfaces, but that's not the common trend in the IT world, in enterprise. The IT folks are looking for graphical user interfaces. This does a couple things. First, it makes the initial configuration easy because typically there are configuration screens and wizards that make bringing the system up easy. But it's also important because it provides ongoing management to lower the total cost of ownership. If you look at the picture on the right, that's an example of Emerson's Spiderware M-cubed software that supports remote management, maintenance, and monitoring. It's through a device such as this that IT will be able to achieve its lower total cost of ownership. This device will manage MicroTCA systems on the network, provide such functionality as diagnostics, viewing alarms, configuring the systems, updating the FRU information, and configuring and managing IP addressing information. So it's very important when we're talking about cost, not just the cost of the product, but also the cost of managing and lowering the total cost of ownership. Now, it's very important, of course, for this ECAST is the cost optimization. By building purposely packed packaging, you can greatly reduce the cost of the MicroTCA system. If you look at the chart on the bottom, you'll see two lines. The blue line represents the natural cost of electronic content going down over time. This will be for two reasons. One, as volumes go up, of course, cost goes down. And secondly, as the natural progression of electronics or Moore's Law will continue to drive the price of electronic costing down. However, if you look at the bottom line, it shows a greater reduction, and that is based on packaging. The picture on the right shows the Centellus 500, and that was designed from the beginning to be low cost. It's used a plastic clamshell injection molding as the chassis. Now, not only is the material cost less than when you go to plastic in volumes, but it also addresses the labor cost. By having a clamshell that snaps together with just a few screws, labor prices are greatly reduced. For example, I've seen MicroTCA systems that use bent metal that have upwards of 100 or more screws. That means that every time a system goes to the factory, there's a labor cost associated with up to screwing in over 100 or more screws. So one of the ideal ways of reducing costs is by the packaging itself and reducing that cost, and this is an example of using injection molded plastic. Another thing that's interesting about this is as the packaging gets down and the cost gets down on it, the overhead of having redundant features is less needed because redundancy can be achieved at the chassis level as opposed to the individual component level, so those devices don't have to be burdened with a bunch of additional redundancy. And environmental effects, this is also very important. In the telecommunication equipment room, there's some obvious difference between an enterprise environment. First of all, the noise, anyone that's been in knows how noisy it is, but also it has to cool up to 55 degrees typically. However, when you move to the enterprise, it typically only requires cooling up to 40 degrees Celsius, but it requires more stringent noise requirements. If you look at the chart on the bottom, you'll see in the telecommunications equipment room, the bells for noise level is much higher. It's 7.5 to 7.2. However, when you move into the business area, that gets much more stringent, down to 5.0. when you're in an office environment on a desktop situation. So it's important that the design from the beginning is able to cool in a quiet, efficient manner to be able to support the enterprise environment. And, of course, it's important that these devices are FCC certified and pass all the safety specifications. So let me just summarize real briefly what we talked about. One of the key markets for micro TCA is enterprise, and it's helping the adoption of the technology. The example I showed you of injection molding plastic enclosure is an example of an innovative design that will support the enterprise market. And I do believe that if we address the issues such as packaging, ease of use, cost-optimized and environmental, vendors will find a wide range of enterprise opportunities. Now back to you, Joe.
Whoops, hit the wrong button there. Okay, thank you, Tracy. Second on the agenda today is Justin Moll from Elmo Bustronic, who's going to talk about balancing performance and cost for commercial and mil-aero micro TCA systems. So, Justin?
Thank you, Joe. This is Justin Moll with Elmo Electronic, and I'm going to be talking about more on the hardware side and chassis backplane side of how we can make micro TCA more cost-effective, particularly for prototyping and early adoption. Talk a little bit about the form factor, incorporating modularity, going to smaller systems, how we could help prototyping and testing and make that more accessible and easier process, and also about applying these same ideas to rugged micro TCA. So Elma develops micro TCA products in four of our divisions. This includes components such as handles and front panels, micro TCA backplanes, a wide range of system platforms and chassis, and even a micro TCA cabinet. So the form factor for micro TCA inherently helps reduce the cost. Instead of having the modules on the ATCA carrier boards, these modules could plug directly into the chassis. This greatly reduces the space and increases the cost savings. And you can see that the performance is still very high for micro TCA with approximately 5,000 megabytes per second slot-to-slot bandwidth. Another way we can reduce the cost for micro TCA is incorporating modularity. A flexible design makes customization a lot less expensive. Also, it's a lot faster. It could be very much easier. And you're building upon, you're customizing based upon a proven design and using standard building blocks to build your custom unit. So how do we incorporate modularity? Well, first we could use plastic card guides, and this will allow us to snap the modules in various intervals, whether it's a full-size, mid-size, or compact-size modules, and even various sizes within the same chassis. We could also use extrusions, which you might remember your Erector set as a kid. These could be cut to different lengths and allows us great flexibility in going from a larger chassis or different sizes and depths and so on. So again, this saves a lot of costs in prototyping and development and early adoption. We could also make the cooling options a lot more flexible. And again, when we are able to customize the chassis less, this helps keep the cost low. So one of the things that we're able to do is in a modular cube chassis is incorporate divider plates. So this allows double modules to switch to two single modules, or you could have both single and double modules inside the same chassis. Also, smaller systems inherently help keep costs low. They take up less rack space, they allow a lot of scalability, and they have a lower initial investment. This example, the 1U High Microslim chassis, offers six AMCs, a power module, an MCH, and a JTAG switch module all in one new height. Now, when we talk about a side-to-side cooling airflow, we need to show proof of cooling performance. So this chassis has dual redundant, very condensed, powerful cooling units. And you can see in the graph on the right, with the simulation that was done in the power module on the block to the far left, you could see that the airflow was cranked up for the power modules, which tend to run hotter. So doing thorough simulation testing, we could prove that the chassis is able to cool effectively. And, for example, this chassis, we showed that it had 96 cubic feet per minute of airflow and able to cool 36 watts per module. We could also help make prototyping and testing much easier and much more accessible, and this helps prevent customization and make the whole process a lot easier with AMC extender boards with pull the signals outside the car cage for easier test and debugging, AMC load boards, AMC air baffles for empty slots, and also we're planning in the summer AMC signal test module, which will allow bit error rate, jitter testing, and even pattern generation such as eye diagrams by simply plugging the module into the chassis. You could test the other cards or even the backplane with a USB cable, plug it into a laptop or a PC, and with a simple GUI software, within 5 minutes, test your micro TCA system. So rugged micro TCA inherently is expected to have a good balance of cost and performance, and it's expected to be more cost effective than other standard open architectures. And there's also a wide range of AMCs available. And what we could do is also incorporate existing rugged COTS design techniques and incorporate the same type of modularity that we talked about earlier. Also note that Elma's team is currently working on the spec, certain sections of the spec for the rugged micro TCA specification. So in rugged micro TCA, there are forced air cool modules with the .1 spec. This is more industrial based and includes telco and the more benign military environments. Micro TCA .2 is for conduction cool modules, and there's also talk of liquid cool modules, but that's still under discussion. So this example where the same type of modularity we discussed was incorporated, and actually test the chassis by first clamping down the modules to the front panels and using special ruggedized card guides. And just using those simple steps alone, the chassis was tested and confirmed it passed a MIL standard 810E for shock and vibration and 461 for EMC. Further, rope coil isolators and shock absorbers and dampers could also be used for further ruggedization. I won't go too much into detail of some of the next slides since we're short on time, but I'm sure you could go through some of these on your own. This just shows the revised sub-rack module size for going to for ruggedized micro TCA. This is just an example of some R&D on a rugged micro TCA in an ATR box. For the conduction cooled version, there are discussions for using the existing AMCs in the 75 millimeter height and using a new defined size of 100 millimeters. However, both of these sizes would work within the same module sub-rack frame. This example of a 5U chassis, both with and without the front hinge door, and you can see what the card cage would look like. Again, more R&D. And this is a side view showing the fan and the isolated card cage. And this is a shot of the isolated card cage itself, and you can see some of the air openings and removable fan tray and the card cage and so on. Okay, so in summary, MicroTCA again maintains very strong performance while reducing the size and overall costs, and we can incorporate modularity to keep the customization costs low, particularly in prototyping and early adoption. And the smaller systems inherently save the cost and still have a lot of performance in a very small size. And we're able to develop new prototyping testing tools and make them widely accessible, which helps the overall process and facilitate easier development. And we could apply these same modular principles and use commonly used design practices for a rugged MicroTCA. So from there, I'll pass it back to Joe.
Thank you very much, Justin. And just so everyone understands, the MicroTCA.0 spec is the original telco-centric spec that was ratified a couple of years ago, and PCMIG subcommittees are now working on MicroTCA.1, which is a ruggedized air-cooled spec, and MicroTCA.2, which is a ruggedized conduction-cooled spec designed for mil-aero applications. So thanks again, Justin. Our third speaker today is Will Chu, President and CEO of Coridge Networks, and Will's going to talk about low-cost MicroTCA systems, chip and board-level innovations. Will?
Hi. Thanks, Joe. just so the audience knows, I'm a little bit hoarse, but I think I should be able to make it through the presentation. So I'm going to talk about low-cost MicroTCA systems. This is more of a trend of where things are going in MicroTCA that you know a lot of board and chip-level vendors are taking a look at. Just a quick overview of Coridge Networks. You know, we're a leading supplier of MicroTCA, AMC, IPMI products. We have a bunch of first-to-market products, and they're all shown there. Some pictures of those on the right. We've had significant experience with early customer development of MicroTCA, and we have a portfolio of IP that we're trying to leverage to develop customized solutions. So, as an overview of MicroTCA, trying to get to low cost, some of the business drivers we've heard from the customer base is that, customers want the lower cost MicroTCA. Then, some people have mentioned, typically lower cost requires greater volume, but you don't get the low cost without the volume, and so you have a chicken and the egg problem. And, I think all the vendors in the ecosystem, as well as the ones on the presentation today, are looking at ways to develop those solutions. For CoreEdge in particular, we produce MicroTCA carrier hubs and power modules, and we're looking at ways to reduce the cost of both of those elements. For the MCH in particular, we're looking to go to custom silicon over time, and then for the power module, we're looking to put the power module in different places in the chassis or integrating them with different elements of the chassis to reduce overall cost. So I think one of the earlier presentations touched on some of the areas where low-cost MicroTCA seems to get some customer traction, and in particular, it's in segments like the enterprise or home markets or access markets for things like base stations, access routers, media servers, IP-PBX, DSLAMs, CPE-type equipment. In those segments, you have high volume, And so the customers are fairly cost sensitive. And we kind of show a chart on the right side talking about if you want cost or performance or high availability across the top against a bunch of different market segments, you know, where low-cost micro TCA seems to make a fit is an enterprise or home or access networks. So just a quick overview of micro TCA. You know, we're focusing on the base platform of micro TCA. So that consists of a micro TCA carrier hub or hubs, power module or power modules, cooling units, you have your backplane, connector, chassis, and JTAG switch module or JSM. So I've kind of highlighted those elements. You know, that's a base platform without any AMCs. That's more or less your entry cost into micro TCA. And we've done some analysis of the cost drivers in a, you know, a base micro TCA system. So, you know, if a base micro TCA system, you know, includes those elements, you know, we estimate, you know, a micro TCA carrier hub is something like one third of that cost, and power module is another 25% plus, you know, depending on if you have redundancy or not. So, you know, 50% or more, you know, maybe 60, 70% of the cost of a base micro TCA platform can be attributed to the MCH and the power module. So we feel, you know, since it has a disproportionately high percentage of the platform cost, that's a place we should look to reduce cost. So if we look at, in particular, the functions of an MCH on the table on the left, it's really delivering three types of functions. You have IPMI management, you have clock management or distribution, and you have networking fabrics. Now, the one that's common for just about all applications is the IPMI management. So if you want to stick to a base platform to get the high volume, you might want to look at IPMI as a place where you can reduce cost and you can leverage it across many, many applications. So here I just, on the right side, is a picture of an MCH and the block diagram of the kind of functions that are in this MCH. So on the next slide, I mean, in CoreEdge in particular, we have an FPGA-based MCH solution. We provide both IPMI management and gigabit Ethernet switching in a single FPGA. Now, you can separate those two and have IPMI management on its own and gigabit switching on its own. You know, obviously, the nice thing about the FPGA platform is that it's very flexible, and in practice, we've been using it to vet out specific customer requirements in hopes of moving to a lower-cost technology like a structured ASIC or a custom ASIC so that you could leverage that across many, many applications. And another trend that we see is what I call micro TCA light or like opportunities. In general, my definition of that, you know, typically low-cost micro TCA solutions, they support AMCs as is, you know, which I consider to be the spirit or intent of the micro TCA spec, but there are alternative implementations for the other, you know, common elements in the chassis or the base platform. And we're already seeing some of these micro TCA light or like implementations in the marketplace already, and, you know, we expect more, you know, down the road. And here I'm just showing some examples of some micro TCA or pico TCA light or like examples. So the first one is a product that CoreEdge makes in which we combine the MCH and the power module into a single, you know, front accessible board. And I kind of, you know, show a small chassis, and that red box is showing the MCH and the PM kind of integrated together. The next block of three pictures is another set of products not done by CoreEdge. In these instances, they're using standard MCHs, but the power modules are typically rear mounted and fixed. And, you know, just three different chassis from three different vendors that are available on the market today. And then the last one is an application of AMCs in an enterprise server. And, yep, you know, there are many more applications like this in development today by CoreEdge and by other vendors. So just to give you an idea, I just focus in on some of the CoreEdge products because, you know, I can talk about those. In the 1U Pico example, basically what we're showing here is how we've combined the MCH functionality and the power module functionality into a single module. So we do IPMI management, power control and conversion, we do clocking and JTAG in a single module. And in this case, for the networking, we have a cross-connected backplane to cross-connect the, you know, the data lanes in the system. And we know that this is a fairly low-cost way to implement AMC-based systems. The next example is what we call the SendPAC, which is a PCI Express to AMC converter card. And this product enables AMC-based applications to be used directly in enterprise systems. It fits in most standard PCI Express ATX-style motherboards. And the key thing is that it leverages existing investment in workstations, hopefully to reduce incremental cost in either deployment or development. And on the right, we just show a picture how we have this, this what we call the SendPAC, how that plugs into an enterprise chassis, and you're kind of off to the races. And the next slide, because this is kind of a different kind of thing, we show a more detail of the AMC and enterprise server. So on the top left, we show the picture of the SendPAC, and then right below that on the bottom left, we show how there's an AMC. Basically, you can access it in the rear of the chassis of an enterprise server. And on the right side is kind of a picture of a standard 4U enterprise server. Kind of in the bottom right in that picture, you have this SendPAC that's holding an AMC inside your enterprise server. This basically helps you reduce the cost of your development because you have this server. Typically, the engineering at least will have this server on their desk. They can get a SendPAC and then move right away to AMC-based development without even purchasing micro TCA infrastructure, at least initially. Just in summary, for low-cost micro TCA systems, we do feel that there are opportunities to address high-volume, cost-sensitive market segments. Our approach is essentially low-risk by starting off with FPGAs and then moving to ASICs over time as we can, vet out customer requirements and hone in on specific applications that will be delivered in high volume. And we do see people placing power, control, and conversion in, let's say, more convenient or more efficient places, and even the opportunity to integrate those to reduce costs further. And obviously the main goal is to reduce the common platform cost for micro TCA, which typically is the MCH and the PM. You have this strong desire to reuse AMCs as is, and then potentially even to leverage AMCs and enterprise systems. So I hope I've showed you that there are some variations already available today to try to get low-cost micro TCA into the marketplace, and then there'll be more. So that's it for me. Back to you, Joe.
Okay, thanks, Will. And your voice was just fine. Our last speaker today, Jeff Hudgens, who's the product manager at NEI, is going to broaden the discussion a little bit and talk a little bit more about not just micro TCA, but ATCA, and how to build ATCA architectures with iSCSI boot. So go ahead, Jeff.
Thank you, Joe. And what I want to start with here is the architecture with the iSCSI boot is on ATCA, but as we know, most of the micro TCA designs are derivatives of the ATCA architecture. So even though we'll be talking about an application that's in ATCA, you'll start to draw some correlations and opportunities into micro TCA. So what I'm here to talk about today is really a breakthrough technology and describe a stateless server in ATCA and really show how that provides a lower capital expense as well as operating expense. So first, a little bit about who NEI is. We are a publicly traded company roughly $220 million based in operations in both Boston and Dallas area. We have extensive experience in the telecom markets and specifically a early adopter in the ATCA with roughly 5 years of experience. And our key differentiation is delivering value to our customers through a variety of ways. So let's jump right into the stateless server model. This is, again, as I mentioned, a breakthrough technology and really is a game changer as it relates to how you configure an ATCA solution. This stateless server that we're going to show today incorporates a Astute Networks Caspian Blade into an NEI ATCA A13000 server. NEI has been working with a company called Astute for roughly about a year now to develop this solution. And what it primarily does is allows you to do an iSCSI remote boot and remove the disks from the single board blades and offload that into a separate storage blade. And there's a lot of benefits that go along with that stateless server design. So very quickly, from a high level, you can build the iSCSI remote boot stateless server very simply by creating the boot and application image on the storage blade, changing the boot source in the BIOS, assigning the ATCA blades to their boot images. The iSCSI then, the boot loads the OS to the stateless server memory, and then you can simply launch the application and run as normal. So this applies both at the operating system level as well as all your application files. And this is the first 10 gigabyte iSCSI storage solution for ATCA. So let's dive quickly into some of the key benefits here. First and foremost is you do remove the storage off of the single board computer, so the single board is no longer tethered to the hard drive. So you end up with a diskless server, which immediately lowers your cost and power consumption. In addition to that, you have now centralized your operating system and images so that your manageability goes up and you are not having to worry about multiple images, multiple operating systems spread across several different blades. Another significant benefit here is in the redeployment and repurposing of those images. As I mentioned earlier, the operating system and application is no longer tied to the single board computer. So what you've essentially done is created a dumb single board computer that in the field, now if you have a blade that goes down, you simply remove that blade, put in a new blade, and you don't have to worry about provisioning the image onto those replacements. And lastly here, we see a lower cost per subscriber by not having to implement external storage arrays into your solution. You're going to wind up with less rack space requirements, lower costs for your overall storage strategy. In addition, we find that we have reduced management overhead. Again, as I mentioned earlier, the images and application OS are all stored off the single board computer, so it really streamlines your management of all those images and, again, are not trying to manage multiple elements across the environment. In addition to that, you have a higher MTBF. Your MTBF is improved by the fact that you have removed all of those individual hard drives from each of the blades and consolidated through the iSCSI onto one or two storage blades. Most of what I've just covered are all operating expense benefits. Now if we look at the capital expense or the acquisition cost, you see that we also get a lower CapEx of almost 20%. In this particular case, we look at the A13000, which can house up to 12 blades. So in the center column with the servers with a direct attached storage approach, we have 10 blades and roughly a capital cost of $30,000. And in the far column, you see the stateless server, which has additional same 10 blades, but you have an additional two iSCSI blades, but your total capital expense in this case is only $25,000. So not only do you gain the operational efficiencies and lower expense, but you also spend less money up front to build out the solution. So one of the key areas, those are all great benefits, but you know, everyone's always concerned about what do I give up to gain these benefits? And one of the primary concerns was in the CPU overhead and how that was affected by running things over the iSCSI protocol. So we've run some tests, and these are some of the results from those tests using IOMeter as an industry standard testing environment. We did several tests that related to read writes. In this particular chart, we show read writes of 4,000 blocks. On the left side of the chart, we show the iSCSI software, and then on the right side of the chart, we show a local SATA hard drive. And what you see there is a difference of only 6% in terms of the actual CPU utilization between those two environments. So they were set up identical, the loading was identical, and very, very negligible impact in terms of running the iSCSI. In addition to that, we looked for performance at the maximum throughput level, and again, saw even closer results of only a 2% delta in terms of the Caspian iSCSI software compared to the local direct attached storage. So again, we wanted to explore, you know, what you had to give up in order to gain these benefits, and the overall impact to the application performance is very, very negligible. So very quickly in summary, a little marketing slide here on who NEI is and what they do. We are, again, a leader in this ATCA or XTCA marketplace. We've been around for a number of years. We've done a lot of designs in NEBS compliance, offer a lot of different options, and have been vetted through the TL9000 as well as ISO processes from our quality performance, and offer many options in terms of branding, and really can lower the overall cost to both OEMs and independent software vendors with a quicker time to market and longer life cycles. And so with that, Joe, I will turn things back over to you.
Okay, thanks very much, Jeff. Good stuff. We're now going to try something that's a first for one of these ECASTs to see if we can actually bring up this. Aha, it worked, the interactive poll. Thank you all for participating in that, the poll question that came up at the beginning, which was, what are your current thoughts about MicroTCA and its applicability to your specific vertical market? And I think I can push that right out. And you should see in your audience view the answers. People considered interoperability at 29% to be an important issue. Considered price at 37.5% to be an important issue. Considered rate of adoption to be 50% is an important issue, and limited vendor options basically zero. So rate of adoption is always important in new platforms. You want to get as much out there as you can. You want to get a large ecosystem of vendors and customers, and that more than anything else will help drive costs down due to increased competition and larger volumes. So moving along right here, we're 8 minutes before the hour. We've got a bunch of questions that have come in, and they're good ones, so I'd like to address them quickly as we can. We may run a few minutes past the hour, top of the hour, so I ask you if you can hang on. We'll keep this thing going until we get through the questions. The first question is, will ATCA, MicroTCA, and PicoTCA with them, is there any clear segmentation of different markets where one standard is better than the other for any given market, or is it something that's still evolving? Anyone care to comment on that? Everybody unmute?
This is Will. I mean, I can comment really quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the big difference between ATCA and MicroTCA and PicoTCA, you know, more or less at one level is the form factor. Obviously, ATCA blades are a lot bigger than AMCs. So, I think in general, where you have tighter form factors, you know, smaller spaces, you're more likely to see Pico TCA or Micro TCA based solutions. I mean, you know, that's one easy segmentation to break out where these technologies might end up.
Yeah, and I think I would add to that, you know, although Advanced TCA is enjoying some design wins in non-telco markets, it's specifically aimed at and very intentionally aimed at telco, and that's where it's enjoying the majority of its success. Micro TCA, we're finding out, is being interested in creating interest in a lot of other markets, the enterprise markets that Tracy talked about, some of the mil-aero markets, and so I think we're going to see a larger market spread with micro TCA than perhaps with ATCA.
This is Jeff. I think the last differentiation I might make is we are seeing some deployments in ATCA in the security verticals for network processing. There's a little more horsepower available there in ATCA for core type applications. You know, as you move closer to the edge, then you get into more of the micro TCA or Pico applications.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. Here's one specifically aimed at you, Will. And I had it here for a second. And would you kindly comment on the current and future projected costs of the CoreEdge 1U Pico TCA system?
Sure. I mean, in high volume, we expect it to be, you know, less than 1,000. You know, very high volume, you could see it as, you know, less than $500 U.S.
Okay, that's a straight answer. The next two questions are kind of related, and I'm going to read them both off at the same time and ask you guys what your considered wisdom is. Question one, well, I've heard that home media centers mentioned. When I think of home media center, I think of a $500 PC and a $50 router. I know a more elegant solution is possible, but what sort of volumes do you think you'd be needed to make this kind of micro Pico TCA system a Best Buy or a Costco kind of purchase? And the related question, is micro TCA feasible for in-house use? Wouldn't cost be an issue, as even a simple system with one MCH and one AMC card is quite expensive? So I throw that out to the group and see what you guys think. You know, fiber to the home endpoints or something like that? What kind of volumes do you think would be needed?
Well, this is Justin. I really can't speak too much to the kind of volume. I think that's pretty far ways away, but I think the as far as the functionality, you'd really have to go with the much more basic units, and instead of having the MCH, the kind of shelf management and performance and so on there, it'd have to be for lack of a better term, kind of a dumbed down or a very basic unit for that. But we're really looking more at kind of embedded systems and going into mil-aero. We're not really looking at least from an ELMA standpoint in this type of direction right now for home media centers and so on.
Okay, thanks. Here's a specific question. At what maximum ambient temperature does micro TCA support insertion of multiple 36-watt AMCs? I think that's probably a general question. I'll invite anybody to jump in and comment on their product. Okay, no straight answer. Moving right along. This is a specific one, Justin, for you, for ELMA. What operating temperature range can your 1U micro TCA chassis support?
Well, that's basically, it's just the commercial operating range of 0 to plus 50 for that, just standard.
Okay. Here's another question, moving right along here. I hit my refresh button. Would you be able to provide a list of available application AMCs? For example, are there any 8-port 10-100, 1,000 switches available? Are there Wi-Fi cards, WiMAX cards, storage cards, VoIP cards, general I.O. cards? Where can I find a list? I can answer that initially, which is many of the technical publications, including OSP's Compact PCI, Advanced TCA Systems magazine, periodically, a couple times through the year, do product directories where vendors are invited to post their products. That's always a good place to find a list. Another good place to find a list is the PCMIG website, www.pcmig.org. Click on a button called Product Directory, and you can sort by AMC and AMC type and vendor and such. So those are two good ways to find what's out there. It's a constantly changing list. You guys have any other comments on that? Okay. Here's a related question related to an earlier question. Can MicroTCA handle the high temperature of the NEBS environment, especially when you need dual multi-core high-wattage CPUs for your application? The 55C question.
This is Tracy. Yeah, MicroTCA certainly can, and it really comes down to the design of the chassis itself. And so as long as the design up front has the cooling capability, that certainly can be supported.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is Justin. I'd just add that, we can do thermal simulation and so on, and I showed a couple of examples of how we could incorporate single or dual redundant cooling. We could do things such as redirect airflow to certain hot spots, increase the air intake, crank up the CFMs in certain spots. So there's a lot of things we can do depending on the application to address the higher temperatures.
Okay. Another question, can MicroTCA support the telco space with I/O interfaces out the front rather than the rear? Well, I think the answer to that is yes, but I'd like you guys to comment. Yeah, I mean, most AMCs in ADCA systems, for example, plug into carrier cards, and it's specifically to customize I/O, and that I/O usually goes out the front. So I think the answer is yes. Here's one for you, Tracy. I've never seen an injection-molded MicroTCA plastic chassis, and is this plastic chassis sturdy enough to support the weight of the cards and can pass shock and vibration in typical applications?
Yeah, this is Tracy. Yes, it certainly can, and in fact is the engineering that went into this product is the same that goes into our other metal chassis NEBS-based products. So we go through the same certification and testing, and we found that the injection molding plastic actually is very sturdy and really does a great job for the MicroTCA system.
Okay. Here's a couple for you, Justin. We've seen several chassis sizes and configurations from Elmo. What range of sizes do you currently offer?
Well, we have basically in the sub-rack type, we have essentially 1U through 8U high. We've introduced what we call micro slim line, which we saw an example of the 1U heights. We're also introducing 2U and 3U heights. Shortly, we also have the portable tower, the kind you could carry around for test and development in the cube sizes. We have a couple different for that. And also, of course, rugged micro TCA is coming out soon, so we'll see plenty of configurations from there.
Okay. Here's another question for you, Justin. How many channels will your AMC test module support?
We're expecting that it will support 8 channels. For a single module and possibly more for a double module. But for a single module, we're hoping and expecting 8 channels.
Okay. And one last final question. We're at the home stretch here. This is for you, Tracy, at Emerson. Does the Emerson management software you referenced support managing multiple MicroTCA systems simultaneously? Good question.
Yes, it does, and in fact, that's kind of the beauty of the software. From one graphical interface, you can manage all the MicroTCA systems in your network. And if you look closely at this slide, you actually see a graphical representation of what the chassis looks like. And by simply clicking on a component or an AMC, you can get the information and manage that particular component. And then it's unlimited the number of chassis that you can have managed under one console.
Okay, thanks. We're a little past our allotted 1 hour here. We're a couple minutes past the hour. That pretty much wraps up the Q&A session. Moving along here, I will certainly want to thank our speakers today for the time they've taken into preparing these presentations and presenting them to you today. I want to thank you, the audience, for taking a valuable hour out of your day to listen to this. This event will be archived in a couple hours at the Open Systems Publishing website URL that you see on your screen in front of you, and that'll be up for about a year, so you can always go back and look at these slides again at your leisure. We're always interested in making these presentations better, so if you have any thoughts and opinions about how we can do that, please let us know. Email us ecast@opensystemspublishing.com. So once again, I want to thank everyone for taking the time today to attend this presentation. And again, thank the speakers for their excellent presentations, and we'll hope to see you at an event in the future. Thank you.